You're listening to the 1 Minute Apologist podcast with Dr. Bobby Conway. My name is Tim, and today you're going to be listening to one of Bobby's breakout sessions from CIA 2019 that was in New York City this past week.
Welcome to the 1 Minute Apologist.
1 Minute Apologist.
Apologetics seeks to give credible answers to curious questions,
to give a defense.
Well, one of the things that we love to do is to help equip ministry leaders, pastors, anybody that is trying to give presentations or present at a Sunday school, any one of those things. You will find this presentation extremely helpful. Bobby's going to be talking about how he puts together talks. So when he does a sermon or a message or anything like that, he goes through a certain process. So what you're going to listen to is Bobby kind of talking about how he does his process. So this was kind of in a small group environment. So we recorded this on a camera audio. So the audio is not the best, but I think the content is really good. I hope you enjoy it.
I think when you're starting off, it's okay to kind of adopt a style. An approach from people that you're drawn to. So you think about maybe which pastors. See, I think sometimes personally, I've looked at the pastors and I go, man, I wish pastors were more thoughtful. And I've watched apologists and I thought, man, I wish they were more personal, like that they connected. And I think that and I'm saying that obviously because I've spent so much time being a pastor and an apologist, and I spend time in both worlds, and I see how they can really complement each other. I would say, if you're somebody who has a dynamic style about you, and you're more charismatic, then I think when you're teaching, walking can be good, but not pacing. So this is me. Like, I think having a hand in a pocket, if it doesn't feel right to you, then don't do it. When I see somebody, it just when somebody comes out and does this, it just feels like I can sit down and have a cup of coffee with somebody. If somebody's being intense, it puts me on edge a little bit, right? And what is our culture? We live in a tolerance-based culture. They tolerate. So how do we communicate in a tolerance-based culture, in a pluralistic culture? That's where I think knowing what their assumptions are, conceding some things, looking to connect, and bringing them to what we want to say. That whole thing, did they say that today? Tell them what you're going to tell them. Like, for me, that is not what I like to do. I mean, who wants to go to the movies and watch a movie where the director gets them and says, here's how this suspense story ends, and then in the middle of it, it happens, and then he comes and says, see what I did? I told you who the killer was, and then I showed you the killer killing the person, and now let's look at it again. Like, I love suspense. So what do people love? They love stories. They love good films. And so I think if we're going to connect, that's me saying this, I get it, but I'd say, don't always tell them what you're going to tell them. Look for a way to be suspenseful. Look for a way to be creative. Look for a way to be unsuspecting. Vary your delivery style up. Don't be predictable. That's boring, right? I love watching like Netflix and these series and thinking about them and binge watching, like, because. But what I find is I can tell when somebody is running out of creative material, when they start taking their series too long. I know that they're just trying to keep their bills getting paid, but the story died. Like, I thought The Matrix was incredible, and I think it could have ended with Neo's ascension at the end of the first one. And then they did the second Matrix and the third Matrix, right? I'm Stranger Things. It'll be interesting to see how they keep this storyline going. Breaking Bad, that film, they actually kept the storyline engaging and covered their bases really well for the 5 series, which was not normal, right? It was really cool to see that. But I think we don't want to be predictable, and that's what you see with people go on to another series or another program. They like that. So in the funny way, while we can't get a lot of truth from Hollywood, we can get truth about presentation. We can't get truth about how to connect. We can't get there's a reason it's so big and people watch. So what ends up happening is sometimes the church, we're anti-Hollywood. They're not giving the truth. But the very truth that they do give is why it is they connect to culture. They're not giving moral truth, but they're helping us know why it is that they connect to culture. Does that make sense? So if you have a teaching style that, if you're more of a professor type, maybe one way you can soften, if you like having a lectern and that's your style, you could have a lectern and maybe instead of standing behind it, maybe you get a flat top table and a high stool. And you sit on a high stool next to that, and when you're communicating, it just creates a casualness. And what it does is it gives you it props you up. It gives you a dynamic if you don't feel like you're naturally dynamic. To take a person who's not dynamic and put them behind a pulpit with a computer screen, that just compounds the problem. Does that make sense? So I think that finding something that will prop you up and help you to feel like can be connecting. If you have a dynamic personality, being careful not to overdo it. Right? So like when you're being you, you know, just look for a way to be you. I love, what was your name again?
Norita.
What was it called? The Scarecrow?
Not the Scarecrow.
Not the Scarecrow. She has the coolest ministry concept, Not the Scarecrow. And she does apologetics for that because the Scarecrow didn't have a brain. Not the Scarecrow. She's got the coolest picture of that. And you've got your PhD too, right? Is that, yeah. So I love this. You got this PhD. She's a brainiac, sharp lady, but she gets this Not the Scarecrow and brings that creative piece in and is doing stuff with that. And I think that's really strategic, is a way to think about how you can be you and what that looks like. Okay, be encouraging as well. You can, like, in other words, saying things like, you can get this. God can use them. God can use you. Like, inspire them to make a difference. You know, and that's what I'd want to tell you. You're here for a reason, and God wants to use you. And be thinking about what your niche is. How are you going to deliver your message? You know, J. Warner Wallace, his niche, detective. So what's he do? He plays off that. He's the detective, and that becomes his delivery method, and it works really, really well for him. You take different people, and you think about, like, a Nabil Qureshi passed away, and man, love Nabil, but he was using a lot of that, his background with Islam. For me, I try to share a lot of my story. I try to connect with people out of just, you know, my rated R background, so to speak, and I just try to lay that out there because I know a lot of people feel like the church judges them, and I want people to feel that it's okay to be here. You're not alone. There's hope for you. So I try to use a lot of my story in helping people. I love creativity. So the woman, an apologist, you know, it's got that black and white background, and it's got some, you know, music there. But it's just a real simple program. Like, if you like video ministry, that's a template. You can reproduce that. You could do it, Not the Scarecrow. And you could, I don't know if you've seen, have you seen my program?
I think I've seen
it. Yeah, so you can watch it. But that's a template. So you could, I can envision some scarecrows in your template, and you're answering questions, Not the Scarecrow. And it's just a YouTube ministry. And it's easy. Like Tim is our executive producer at The Woman Apologist. Tim, say hello.
Hello.
Tim's a guy that he's filming videos. He's doing our social media stuff and making stuff happen. He interviews me on our weekly podcast and gets that out. But I would say if it's a video ministry, come up with a creative way for doing that. If it's a blog, how are you going to use apologetics to connect in your local church? Well, who are you? What is your experiences? What's your background? And bringing all that together, that's good. You can do this. I would say don't be predictable. I already talked about that. You can use props, clips. And then when it comes to crafting your message, let me share. I would say make sure you have a way to craft your message. When have a, like a working template. So, for example, when I I was taught at Dallas, and I really think Dallas Seminary has produced great preachers. You'll have sometimes people that are great Bible teachers, like a John MacArthur or a Chuck Smith. These are great Bible teachers. And they teach the Bible. They give you a lot of information, but there's not a lot of anecdote. There's not a lot of application. Then you get people like maybe a Rick Warren or a Francis Chan. They're great communicators, and there's lots of application, but you don't feel like you're getting a lot of the guts, right, of the Scripture. And I think that Dallas has produced a lot of people who preach the Word and give a lot of life application. So Howard Hendricks and Chuck Swindoll and, you know, Tommy Nelson and Tony Evans and a lot of these people, they're really effective in that. And I would say the way they taught you there, they gave you kind of a template. So like when you think of your opening, and this can work, think of, you can just write down opening. And so picture, we're going to build a template real quick. Write the word opening. And for your opening, you can use a question, a provocative question, a powerful statement, a personal story, a quote, a news clip. And so you know, you can think of different things, right, that you can put there. And now, like this template is, sits next to you. You're preparing your message. And it, so image, or your opening. What's your opening? And it's that. Okay? How am I going to build the need to hear this message? Why do they need to listen to this message? So now somebody sits out there. Your opening grabs them. What's the best way to grab them? Then you build the need. That's where you're beginning to answer the question, why they need to hear this. And how do you build and raise any? You can use statistics. You can talk about the state of the culture. You can talk about the difference it's going to make. You can raise questions. As long as you raise questions, come back and answer them in the end. And you're bringing all that stuff up right there. And so you're bringing them to the point where, like, so for example, sons of God, daughters of men. What did I do? I walked out there and I captured them with a personal story. And listen, the more personal, the more powerful. The most powerful way that you can say it, as Rick said, is the most is being personal. And then what did I raise? What did I raise the need? I brought them to a place where, can you relate to this? Yeah. Well, how do you solve a passage like that when it feels like this? So you're showing them why they need to hear this. So you're establishing relevance. Okay. So opening, need, and then. Subject. You announce the subject. Alright? Today I want to talk to you about how, you know, so if you open up about a marriage, I jumped out of a moving car, and then say something like, why did I tell that story? Because many people would rather jump out of a car than communicate. Now, can you relate? Now, what would I say? Maybe you're sitting out there today wondering about throwing in the towel. Maybe you had a conflict on the way to the church this morning, and you're frustrated, and your arms are crossed. You don't even want to be in conversation right now. Maybe you've been to counseling. You've read all the books. You've done everything, but you do not know how to have a connection to your spouse. Well, would you like to know how? Now watch. Here's the transition to subject. Today I want to talk with you about how to have a connection that lasts with your spouse or whatever, right? So I'm moving you through my template. And then text. That's where you announce the text. Announce the subject, announce the text, if you're preaching through the Word. If you're not, then you don't have to. Okay?
You're talking about a Bible text, right?
Yeah, if you're moving through a Bible text. And in conclusion, just, you know, because the text, then you're, text, body, conclusion at that point. But all I'm saying is, now you just take the whole thing. In opening, jumping out of a car. Use a grab statement at the end of your opening. A lot of people would rather jump out of a car and communicate, huh? Right? Now I'm transitioning to need. Have you ever felt like jumping out of a conversation? Have you ever felt frustrated? Do you lash out? Do you hide out? Do you fake it out? You're asking questions. Because when you're asking questions, you're going, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then you're transitioning to subject. Well, today I want to talk about. And to answer this, turn to this passage. And we're going to look at this passage, and you can walk them through it, or you walk them through your material. And then your conclusion's the same way. You can use a statement. You can use a recap. You can come back and answer questions. And I would say that's kind of a template. And then I would say create a question. So you have a template. Next to it, have questions that you ask yourself before you go out and teach. Do I have a transparent moment? Am I being vulnerable? Is there an application? Am I double illustrating? You know, you want to avoid double illustrating. Am I trying to shoot job too much into this talk? What can I shave? Do I have various forms that I'm going to use to get this message to connect? Like, am I using a prop, or am I using a video, or am I using an interview, or am I using... I'm just sharing things just off the cuff here that you can think about that can hopefully help you. So those are some thoughts that I would share with you that I think can make our messages connect.